Praise the Lord. Man, what a wonderful time of worship. Wasn't that tremendous? The presence of God, I know, is real where you're at. It sure is where we're at as well. I want to share with you this morning, of course, if you're part of New Life, you remember we were in Ephesians, and I promise we'll get back to that. But I really felt to bring you a message this morning called Authority and Victory. And I'm going to be in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. So you'll want to turn there, Luke chapter 10. You know, there's a lot of opinions about this virus, but one thing has been abundantly clear. Things can change overnight. In just over a month, the greatest nation on the earth has been brought to her knees. Many of us are familiar with the seven mountains. And what all that is, the seven mountains are education, religion, family, business, government, arts and entertainment, and media. My friend, all of those have been shaken. And I'm reminded in the book of Hebrews that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, that which is not shaken will remain. God is in control. And rather than be concerned about it and worried about it, we cast our care on Jesus because he has foresaw this for sure, and he's given you and I authority over the enemy. And the enemy certainly is running a lot of things on this earth, not the kingdom of God, but on this earth. There is a spirit of fear that's come across not only our nation, but nations. I just heard middle of the week that India is on a lockdown, 1.3 billion people being locked down. It's just nobody could have predicted or said anything about that. But I want to give you a little background here before we read in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 is where we'll start. But Jesus had sent 35 teams out of two out to visit the villages that he was about to visit. And he asked them to do two things. He told them to heal the sick and to tell them that the kingdom of God has come near you. And I submit to you, are we to do the same? You and I are to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And this is a wonderful time for the church to go outside of the doors, since we're already outside of the doors, and begin to do what God called us to do. But unfortunately, rather than confront the enemy, many in the church have taken the stance that to hunker down and to wait till this thing is over. I say that now is the time to preach the kingdom and heal the sick. These guys were sent out 2 years into Jesus' public ministry, just 24 months, and Jesus sent out what was most scholars think were young teens and early 20-year-old men that went out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Let's read in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. May God bless to us the reading of his word. You know, demons are subject to us. And if we had any question whether demons exist or demons are moving around in this earth, those things were put to rest in just these last couple of weeks. We see all kinds of fear, all kinds of greed and hate, and all those things that are demonically motivated. But Jesus in us gives us the authority to defeat that kind of mess that we've seen. Demonic presence is everywhere. Every time, and listen, every time we agree with the spirit of fear, we strengthen the demonic realm. You and I need to realize that we've been given the mandate to heal the sick and to preach the kingdom of God. Now, we just made mention that the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. And if you're a Christian today, if I'm speaking with you and you have Christ in your heart, you're part of that unshakable kingdom. And we need to walk in that. If you're listening this morning and you've not yet made a commitment to Christ, I'm praying that these and other messages will cause you to look at that. And you need only to ask Jesus and he'll come in your heart and make you part of that unshakable kingdom. Jesus gives us the authority by living in us to defeat the enemy. The scripture says that the demons are subject. Subject means we command and they obey, period. We tell the demonic realm, we tell the enemy to go, we challenge their position, and they leave. The authority of the believer is you. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God. As I said, these guys had only been 2 years walking with Jesus. When they went in the villages and cast out demons, the demons had to leave. And then Jesus said something that I don't want to go past too quickly. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky, from the heavens. And Satan falling like lightning, Jesus observed their authority in the villages. He was saying, I saw Satan fall as you ministered. I don't think we've looked at that way. We think that in some heavenly realm, Jesus watches Satan fell. But he was actually saying, while you ministered, Satan fell from heaven, because he's the accuser of the brethren. But when we take authority over him, he has to go. He has already lost. Jesus made a shame of him openly on the cross. But even before the cross, when Jesus sent them out with authority, they said, Satan, demons are subject to us in your name. Jesus saw their ministry and watched as Satan fell from the heavenly realms. Praise the Lord. I hope that does something for you, because we have authority as believers. Our authority is complete and thorough over the enemy. Defeat is the promise. Jesus did the job at the cross and it was completed, even more so than when these guys went out. So we ought to get excited. While they ministered, step out and resist the devil while you minister. Step out and resist him, because he has given you authority. Behold, verse 19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now, you'll notice of all the animal kingdom, he mentioned serpents and scorpions, both that hide in tall grass and hide where they can, so that they can take us by surprise. Don't you kid yourself. The enemy is trying to take us by surprise. If the enemy came full blast at us, full force, we would know what to do. We'd take authority. But he does not attack like that. He attacks with subtlety. He comes in on different places. We do not, listen, we do not wrestle men, but we wrestle evil spirits. And he'll come with the attacks in a subtle manner. But listen, we have authority over evil spirits. That authority is exousia. It's power over judicial decisions. We have the power to bind the enemy and get rid of him. That trample on is the word pateo. It means to crush with your feet. The subtle attacks of the enemy is where he gets us. Dr. Robert Morris says that the devil is like a wolf. He will study you and watch you until he sees a weakness and capitalize on it. The devil has all the time in the world. One thing I know about the enemy is he is not impatient. He'll wait until an opportune time. The scripture even says that he left Jesus and waited until an opportune time, which we know was in the garden, and Jesus defeated him there. He attacks things in a subtle manner. The first thing that the enemy will attack is our thought life. What we think is in our heart is who we are and what we do. Our thought life needs to be taken. We need to take authority over it, because when we do, we defeat the enemy. Jesus said it like this: take every thought into captivity under the obedience. Or that was Paul that said that, take every thought under obedience. He not only attacks our thought life, he attacks our passions. If we have a passion for food or entertainment or lust or sex or greed, those things, he comes in and subtly attacks us and whittles away until he has authority. Once we allow him access, we are no longer able to crush him under our feet. So if you're in that position, if you've been taken by a passion, by food or entertainment or lust or sex or greed or something, I have an encouraging word for you this morning. Repent. Repentance is not a bad word. Repentance is so often put in a negative thing. It's not a negative thing at all. It's a positive thing for us to repent because we have the promise. God said, I've given you all authority. Jesus himself said, I've given you all authority over all the enemy, all the power of the enemy, to trample him underfoot. The step of the repentance is the most difficult. Not remorse, not feeling sorry that you got your hand caught in the cookie jar, but repenting and turning away from and walking away from it. And I'm here to tell you, and I think you know it, that when we do that, there is power that comes back in our life. Immediately, God sets us where we need to go. Deuteronomy 7:15, I want to talk about all the power of the enemy. Now, when it says all, it means all. Deuteronomy 7:15, God said to the Israelites, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Listen, my friend, coronavirus has no authority in the life of the believer. I believe that with all my heart. My wife and I are taking authority over those things, and so should you. Romans 16:20. All the power of the enemy. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Paul was saying that Satan is under our feet. Ephesians says that Satan is under our feet. And then in Mark 16:18, Jesus promised they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. None of his plans that the devil makes are successful. We have victory assured at conversion. Doesn't matter how old you are in the Lord, if you're part of the kingdom of God, if you have Jesus living in your heart, you have victory. And I want to encourage you this morning. There is so much negative things going around. I heard the governor of New York say that one out of two people in the United States would get the coronavirus. And I talked to a friend of mine, and she said when she heard that, she began to rebuke the enemy because that's a lie. That's a curse that's sent out over the land. Look, we serve the living God. It's not going to come near me. Psalm 91, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It will not come near my dwelling, and it's not going to kill us. If the virus does come, go to bed, get better, that kind of thing. But I'm believing that this verse, I've given you all authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. And let me tell you, coronavirus is a serpent and scorpion. It's a sickness that Jesus took care of on the cross. The enemy's plans are not successful. They will not win. This is where his lies hold some captive. He talks to people and says, I'm in control of this. You can't escape. You will always commit this sin. You're always going to be weak. Listen, the two most powerful weapons of the enemy, I've said this many times, but I want to draw attention to it one more time. That is, his two weapons are accusation and deception. He'll accuse you, tell you that you're weak, tell you that you're no good, tell you you're not saved. You need to stand against that lie. And I don't think anybody's different out there. The enemy attacks in that way, and he attacks in deceptive ways as well. You can continue doing this sin. God's going to love you. God's going to take care of you. And God will always love you, but God will take care of you. He gives you an exception to the rule. All of those things the enemy is working on. The most destructive weapon the enemy has is deception. My friend, you can claim this verse till the cows come home, that God has given you all authority. But if you're living in sin, you need to turn and repent. I'm just reminding you of that. But you know, the promise of God of victory is throughout the scriptures. But I want to draw attention as I close today. I want to draw attention to that just for a minute. If you'll turn to Romans 8, Romans 8, verse 31. I'll wait just a second. Romans 8, 31. Here's what it says. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you want to know what lengths God goes to rescue you from your sin, he sent his only son. Now, if we stop and think about that a minute, my friend, he could have sent an angel. He could have sent another creature. He could have created somebody to come. But he emptied heaven and came for you. You want to know how serious he is about the victory? That's how serious he is. He sent his only son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is for us, as Scripture says. He has your best interest at heart. Even in the midst of coronavirus and all the fear that everybody's in right now, God has our best interest at heart. He also justified us. It says this, it is God who justifies. We are innocent in God's eyes. No matter what you've done in the past, if you've repented, God says you're innocent of that sin. And we are innocent in his eyes now and forever. We have a place assured for us when we pass from this life, we're going to heaven. Not only are we justified, but holy because he prays for us. Right now, Jesus is making intercession for his family before the throne. You don't need to worry about your destiny. You don't need to worry about your provision. We talked last week about provision. He's going to take care of us. Not only are we justified, my friend, but we are holy children of God. And then it goes on to say, who shall separate us? Shall tribulation? I don't know what kind of tribulation you're going through. It may be a sickness. It may be a loss of a job. It may be a concern for your future. Your 401k might have been. Some of that is tribulation. But it will not separate you from God. It goes on to say distress. Certainly we are all distressed. Kind of a funny side, distress is not having toilet paper, and we've seen what that has done to our society. Persecution, I don't think we worry a lot about that in the United States, but there is coming more and more persecution. I just read on the front page of the New York Times about how that this coronavirus's fault is because of evangelical Christians. You might want to look that up. So if persecution is not here, trust me, it's probably coming, but that won't separate us from him. And famine and nakedness and danger and sword, whatever we face, the devil cannot come against us for death, because when we die, we're with him. It goes on to say in this passage that we are more than conquerors. We already won the battle. Dominion, victory, authority, all of those things are ours. The deck is stacked in our favor. My friend, the fix is in. Jesus Christ has given you victory. That's his plan. If we could look at our future, all of us, our future, Christ has victory in mind. What shall separate us? Paul goes on to say in a wonderful passage of Scripture, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, all the demons in the world, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, anything other than God, no matter what it is, no matter who it is, will never separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you today. as I said, we're all kind of probably cabin fever. We're all stuck inside and we're not able to go to work or not able to go shopping and those things. But now is the time to get close to Christ and really remember what He's asked us to do. He's asked us to extend the kingdom of God even in the most terrible conditions. These are not the most terrible, but they're certainly awkward. I want to encourage you to be praying for your lost neighbor, your lost loved ones. If you're listening today and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you. We're closer to the end than we've ever been. There is coming a time when the end will come. Let me speak to you in just a minute for those of you who have not made your decision for Jesus. Do it before it's too late. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That simply means that we're all born the same. We sin, we do things against God. You know that. I know that. I don't think I have to tell you that. The Holy Spirit's already ministering to you about that. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for you. And He died for you because He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. All the Bible requires you to do is to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, you shall be saved. I want to introduce you to the one that I love, my Father, my Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to be introduced to Him and let Him speak to you because He's well able to do that through the power of His Spirit. I want to pray with you. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Just simply pray this prayer. You say, Father, I ask you in your Son's name, in Jesus Christ's name, to come into my heart and live in me. I ask you to place my name in the book of life and put me in that category where I have all the power over the enemy. And Lord, I want you to come in and change my life, and I'm waiting for you to speak with me. And I give you the thanks for what you're doing already. You're writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're forgiving my sins, and I'm a new creation in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful week. We're going to be, for those of you who are with us from New Life, we're going to be on Zoom, and I sent you all an email, on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and then next Sunday at 10 o'clock, we'll see you again. The Lord bless you.